We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. Thanks for joining us. So I fancy myself as a high school sports guy. I know all of them. Right, high school football, basketball, baseball, hockey, lacrosse. I got them all. Golf. I know all of them. And then I get an email from Jackie. And Jackie says, hey, why don't you talk about Wisconsin High School Cycling League? And I thought, you got to be kidding me. There's a Wisconsin High School Cycling League. So I talked to Jackie a little bit and said, hey, look, I'd love to talk about this league if we could do it from the youth sports side of it. Where these kids started cycling, and we'll certainly highlight, promote, and celebrate. What do you have, 40 kids, something like that? She's like, there's over 600 kids doing this.
Yeah, 55 on our team at Shorewood,
55 on the Shorewood team alone. Let me introduce our guests, and we've got a number of guests, and we're going to kind of get through them. We've got three athletes that we're going to talk to in the second segment. The first segment, Jackie's husband. I want to thank Jackie for sending me that email. I really do, and I appreciate it because this show has kind of like opened my eyes on some things that I didn't know much about. And her husband, Dan Judkins, is part of the core staff. Dan, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Mike.
Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Also joined by the director of the Shorewood team. He is Don Iwin, and a coach for Shorewood, Sydney Shimko. Don, let's start with you if we can. How long have you been involved in this?
Well, I've been coaching with the Shorewood team from the very beginning, and in Wisconsin for, you know, most of the teams began 4 years ago. So prior to there actually being a formal league, we started up as what would have been just kind of a club, and when the league was solidifying around the state, we saw that as the opportunity to kind of get, you know, these kids connected to something that we'd seen kind of coming across the country. You know, we've seen it out west a little bit in California and Wisconsin, it was a new thing, but you know it had been around for a few years before that. So
when you started this in Shorewood, were there other teams throughout the state that were already doing this, and you kind of got the idea from there, or did you guys know, was there anything that wrapped it all together at that point?
There have always been, you know, youth cycling teams and things like that, but the kind of new facet of this in Wisconsin anyway is connecting to schools. Right, so as a school sport. And that's what the NICA movement is all about, is making this a real interscholastic sport, right, like everything else.
Right.
So that was the new facet of this.
Did you find, and maybe I should ask Sydney this. Sydney, thank you for coming in.
Absolutely.
How long have you coached?
I've actually been a coach for almost 20 years.
Really?
Obviously not all in the high school realm.
But. Right. At what level were you coaching prior?
I've coached everything from kids to adults, from competitive racers to just casual riders.
Always the mountain type, or the type, or the
sometimes road, sometimes mountain, sometimes triathlon.
So when I was a kid, there was a guy named Jim Akowitz.
Yeah.
Does that name sound?
I went to school with his daughter.
Jim, get out of here. They're still so big involved in this?
Yep.
Still?
Well, Bill is involved. His brother Bill is involved with the Tour of America's Dairyland Racing.
Okay.
And you know, Jim's running a professional team overseas, right?
Yeah. So. My father somehow knew Jim's father, and he would take us as kids, the McGivern kids. We would go and watch Jim in an oval track someplace.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that's as far as I've ever gotten with this sport. But I then just put a friend request on Facebook with him, and he accepted. And I'm sure he's thinking, what does this guy want back? Because he's overseas somewhere.
Yeah, the BMC team, yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to, like, after we have this interview, I'm going to send him a link to what this is and say, look, when I was 7 years old, my father had me come out and watch you race on an oval track, and it was really interesting, but I've never thought about it really since, unless it's in the Olympics, and then I sit and watch all that. Cindy, did you race as well?
I did.
You did, and on the professional level, on the local level?
Yeah, I worked my way up to racing as a professional. I raced mountain bike, road, cyclocross, and then finally off-road triathlon, so in the Xterra series.
Man, good for you. Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, Dan, and again, I want to thank your wife, Jackie, for sending me that email. When you talked, and we talked off the air, and you said, look, I'm just part of the core staff, so I don't know what I'm going to bring to this. This show, this youth sports show, was basically born from other youth groups asking me, calling me, saying, how does that team do this? And how do they raise money? And what about that team? And how do they get volunteers? And how do they do this and this? I said, why are you asking me? I'm a basketball coach, but I'm a radio guy. And they said, well, we're kind of jealous because that youth football team has all the money, all the kids. They seem to have all the volunteers. How did they do that? And so that's how this show kind of was born, to be able to say, hey, look, youth sports, people do things all kinds of different ways. And when you said to me, I'm not sure what I'm going to bring to the conversation, I said, explain what you do. And you said, look, I set up the course and I cook. And I said, perfect. Let's talk about that. So explain how you got involved with all this.
So my good friend Zach was on the front end of this and involved year one, race one. And he said, hey, I know you're looking for a kind of a cool opportunity for volunteering. You should really take a look. And I wasn't really into mountain biking at that point. I had an entry level mountain bike. And he said, we're looking for a cook. And then I got talking to Kathy, and she said, you know, we have a bunch of volunteers that are going to come and help us. We want to provide them a meal, you know, as a thank you.
Sure.
Every time they come out and work hard for us. And we didn't want to bring in anything. You know, we wanted to have it, you know, home cooked almost.
So tell me a typical day for you. You talked about setting up the course.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a standard way each course is the same, or is it all different?
They're all a little bit different because they're all at different locations.
And then what do you cook for these guys?
Well, I made pulled pork this year a couple times.
There we go.
I did brats and burgers. I mean, I was cooking for the masses. So, you know, I was feeding 40 to 50 people on Saturday. And then I also do our core staff meals. We usually rent a cabin or have somewhere that we're staying. So I'll put together a meal for 10 or 12 people at night.
Here's the best part about what you said in that whole conversation is when you said, look, I was looking for a cool place to volunteer, because in every week that I do this show, the comment, 5% of our people do 90% of the work. It's like church. That's what happens at church. And I love the fact that you were looking for somewhere to volunteer. I can't imagine, Don, that you pay your coaches a whole lot of money, right?
We do not pay our coaches anything.
You don't pay them anything.
No, we're volunteers.
Sydney? You did nothing, huh?
No, it's right. You know, we do it for the love of it. And our whole community, the league, and then especially Shorewood, which I can speak to, is driven by parents, volunteers from the community. I'm actually not a parent of a student who's on the team right now. That's what makes the whole thing run, and that's the beauty of it.
So my question, do you remember when you first fell in love with this? I mean, do you remember back in the day when you first started competing, did you know that this was something that you were going to be involved with for the rest of your life?
I did.
I'm sorry, but I wish our listeners could see the smile on your face, because I think it's important for us to kind of find out where your passion and love for this came.
Sure. Well, you know, cycling, this can be said for a lot of sports, but especially mountain biking. When you get involved, it just becomes an avenue to learn so many things, especially as a young person, gaining confidence and overcoming obstacles, all the things that you have to do in these events. And then on top of that is the camaraderie of the team and this whole group of teams.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up around here. I grew up actually in Eagle.
Okay, so was that a big sport in Eagle, or was it something that you just started? Did you get it from a sibling, your mom, your dad?
You know, I guess my first, I did ride as a kid. You know, my brother would set up these little jumps for himself. He'd make a big jump for himself and then a little jump for me.
That was nice
side,
of him,
right?
Sure.
And, you know, that was really when I started riding my bike, but I didn't have a lot of role models as far as starting to race. It was really something that I kind of entered into on my own, but then once you get into the community, you just get enveloped with, you know, people who are there to help.
We're talking about Wisconsin High School Cycling League. And again, if you didn't know about it, don't worry about it, because I didn't either. If you want more information, WisconsinMTB.org. WisconsinMTB.org. We're talking with Dan Judkins, who is a core staff member, Don Iwin, who is a director of the Shorewood team, and Sydney Shimko, who is a coach of the Shorewood team. Don, same question for you.
Yeah.
So you're the director of this. Did you have a long history of being in this sport?
I am, I guess, a classic weekend warrior in the world of mountain bike racing. You know, Wisconsin has a great kind of state series, has for 20-some years now, to kind of go out and just do this kind of racing on your own. But again, jumping back to my first exposure to this when I was a kid, there was no such thing as mountain biking, I'm sure, like when you were a kid, Mark,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
This was not a thing. But we were doing things that, you know, from the outside could be described as mountain biking. We were taking our souped-up Schwinn Stingrays back in the woods and jumping off of things and riding trails out there. Before that, there was a market, you know, that was actually building bikes
purpose. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in, we moved around a little bit, but kind of in the West Bend area.
Okay.
So.
Because I was on the east side.
Yeah.
And we would go down by the railroad track and we would
sure.
do... I hope my mom's not listening, because she would be like, I told you never to do that.
You were probably mountain biking.
Yeah, you know, kind of. Riverside Park, Gordon Park,
yeah.
You know, that kind of pumping station, all on the east side, and find different ways to get to places, but never thought about it as anything other than we're doing something we're not supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know, that kind of stuff. Your love for the sport came at an early age as well?
Yeah, you know, I was always kind of done stuff outside, too, and then once this kind of racing thing happened, I definitely got into it a little bit older. I was a skier, you know, kind of when I was younger, but came back to it after college and got more into the kind of serious kind of training and competitive aspects of it, and that really was kind of when it took off for me, and that's 15 years ago or so.
Sydney, when the league started, was it 4 years ago? Did you know about... That they were starting the league, or how did you get involved? And I also want to thank real quick Kathy Mock, because she reached out and kind of set this thing together. And if she's listening, Kathy, thank you for your help on this. But how did you get involved as a coach?
Yeah, well, I did speak to Kathy as she was really working to form the league. I wasn't able to commit a lot of time to it at the outset. So it was really just in the last 2 years that I've been able to be full time. You know, during the season, working on the coaching.
It gets in your blood, right? Coaching. 36 years for me, basketball. This will be my 36th year. I retired and came out of retirement. And it gets in your blood, and it's really hard to get it out once you become a coach and you enjoy it and you see these. You know, I talk to guys now, think about it. 36 years ago, I started when I was 17 years old. And now I'm seeing, I mean, I can coach guys I can coach their kids. And they come up to me and say, Coach, I remember I used some of the stuff that you said to me when I'm coaching my son. And when you would say it to me, I thought, I'd never say that to a kid. You know, are you ever going to box out this kind of stuff? And he said, look, I'm using the same stuff. Before we get to a break, what part of coaching for you, Sydney, is such a draw?
Oh, wow. You know, I think we really get the chance to see kids not only improve a ton, but even just in any given practice session, you can watch a kid do something that they couldn't do before. And the way that it just lights up their face, and then they carry that with them for the rest of the day all the way till the next time you see them.
You realize that these guys, some of these athletes that you guys are around, we're going to talk to three of them on the other side of the break. They may be part of the sport for the rest of their life. This is a sport they can...
Right.
Look, the guys I'm
still
coaching,
doing it. Yep.
Still doing it.
We're
guys I'm
riding,
coaching yeah. probably aren't going to be able to play basketball into their 40s or
right.
whatever. This is a sport, you guys, that they can do forever, correct?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's awesome. We are talking Wisconsin High School Cycling League. Again, WisconsinMTB.org for more information. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, three athletes, two seniors and a junior at Shorewood High School are going to join us. We're going to ask them, you know, the early days for this, when they got involved, how they got involved, and this is not a sport that, you know, I'm sure that they're doing homecoming and parades for the team at their high school, and we'll talk to them on the other side of the break. This is the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Youth Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Youth Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and again, we're talking Wisconsin High School Cycling League. Didn't know much about it, did a lot of research about it, and I'm really impressed with the things these guys are doing. Go to WisconsinMTB.org for more information. We're now joined by three members of the Shorewood team. Two of them seniors, David Deshpande, Leon Smith, and then a junior, Yannicka Bannick. Close? Come closer if you can to the microphone. Yeah, I'm right there, right?
Okay.
That's awesome. Yannicka, let's start with you. How long have you been part of this?
So I started my freshman year, and I participated with the team in the summer, and then I switched over to high school swimming. But then last year I did it full-time as my high school fall sport, and then this year I've done swimming and mountain biking both.
Really?
So I guess it's 2.5 years of...
How tired are you at the end of the week?
It's a lot, but...
Yeah. What do you swim?
So for high school, I've been more of a long distance freestyler and a backstroker.
Did you see either of the sports helping you in the other?
Yes. So I think my swimming helped my mountain biking more than my mountain biking helped my swimming.
The endurance part
and even just the expanded lung capacity helps a lot. But the mountain biking did take away from the swimming practice time. So I think the swimming definitely helped the mountain biking more than the other way around.
Do you see yourself swimming at the next level? Did you think you'll when now you're a junior, so you've got some time to think about this, but is that something, are you at the level that you might want to swim in college?
I don't think so. I think I'd like to continue swimming as something to keep fit, and improving in any sport is never a bad thing, but I don't think that it'd be something that I'd want to do as a long-term, like...
Yeah, as a career.
I wouldn't want to do it as a career for sure.
Hey, David, let's go to you. You're a senior at Short High School. When did you start with biking?
I've actually been on the team since my freshman year, which was the creation of the team. Both Liam and I have been on since the first year. So we got pulled into it by a team of seniors at the time, or I think they're actually juniors, Carter Warren and Ethan. And they had this idea, we like mountain biking on the river trails on the Milwaukee River.
Sure.
But we want to get more people into it. And so they were able to find a teacher to advise this club, which was Stefan Van Dorn. And he was able to start connecting with Don and
how many kids coaches. In the beginning? Do you remember?
Not many.
It was not many. 12, maybe.
What, how many are part of it now?
55-ish.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So we're getting a lot of growth. It's pretty awesome.
Boys, girls, mix?
Both.
I would say that there's about one girl for every 10 guys.
Yeah.
If that sounds right.
Yeah.
So that
sounds close.
We definitely want to get more girls involved.
Yeah. Now, is teams throughout the state, is there a girls division and a boys division, or is it one division?
There is.
There's a girls and a boys.
We race separately.
Okay. Yeah. Same course?
Yes. Same races, same venues, same times. Well, not same times, but...
But same
day. We're all there together. We're all on the same team, but we do race in separate categories.
David, is it competitive? I mean, do you guys like... Who's your big rival? Who don't you like? It's okay.
Like a team that we don't like?
Yeah.
We don't dislike any teams, but there are definitely some teams that we try to spot their jerseys out there and pass them.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me now or when we go
probably
to a break?
Probably say Madison West, at least. I'm always trying to beat some kids from there.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very – it can be pretty individual. We score as a team, but when you're out there, you may be spending some time with a team member. I've had a lot of races where I'm – with Liam the entire time,
for
and
sure.
We're just shouting back and forth at each other, pushing each other.
Are you guys competitive?
Yeah, I'd say so.
In a good way, though.
Yeah, in a good way. And like,
I think it's great to race with a friend because you're pushing each other.
How much do you guys practice?
3 times a week, usually.
So after school?
Yeah.
And do you go out on your own? When you go out now, Liam, when you go out like in the off season and you're just going to go ride, can you just go enjoy the ride or do you yourself trying to be competitive?
I mean, I think I can do both. And a lot of times I'll find myself enjoying the ride because I am pushing myself and because I'm really like getting after it and like kind of seeing how far I can take it. And I can find enjoyment from that. And I can also find enjoyment from just how beautiful where I am and for the love of being on a bike.
Man, that's good stuff. Your coaches are smiling behind you. You know that, right? Thumbs up, feeling really good about that. David, when you started this as a freshman, did you have any idea what you were getting into at that point?
I don't think I really had the full understanding of what it would lead to. Mountain biking for me at that time was sort of a thing I had done once or twice with a friend. We went and rode on the river trail just for fun, but it was never something I thought I would become competitive in. But as the season started going and we were learning these things, how to turn, how to brake, and you learn, oh, your front brake isn't something you should be terrified of, but it's something that is really helpful. Just skills like that, and then we start riding trails and racing, camping. We're out on these cool hikes, and it just became something that I was really passionate about.
I know that Yannick is a multi-sport athlete. Are you guys multi-sport athletes?
Just mountain biking for
mountain
me.
Biking,
mountain
same?
Biking mostly for me.
When you guys started this, parents, all three of your parents, pretty supportive of this?
Very.
Absolutely, yeah. My dad has been really involved in cycling since he was younger than I am now. So,
You must love this.
Yeah. He's fostered a great love of cycling in my brothers and I. So, and then my brother actually is on the team, and he was more serious about it than I was at first. But then I realized, wow, that looks really fun. And I got more involved with it. And
younger brother or older brother?
Younger brother.
What is your dad's name?
My dad's name is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, you know what? Well done, guys. Hey, you know,
I should see our basement. We've got lots and lots of bikes lined up.
Really?
Yep.
I get a chance to all the parents that are listening here, I get a chance to deal with high school age athletes a lot. And not only doing the show, but as a coach. And these three walked in, shook my hand, looked me right in the eye, said, thanks for having us. I appreciate that. Wow, that's the KISS station right there. The kind of stuff that I like. You guys have done a great job with these three. And I don't know if it's because they're part of this team and they're all really good friends. But the fact that they're willing to come in here, be very comfortable behind the microphone and look me in the eye, shake hands and say thank you. Parents that are listening, well done. I always want to know what my kid was like when he couldn't smell my cologne. Liam, you know what that means? It means I'm not around.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? To Liam's parents and David's parents, Yannick's parents, they can't smell your cologne, and you guys did great. These are good kids. Liam, is there a – did you guys have to have a certain grade point in order to compete?
If you're at least in Shorewood, academics always do kind of come before sports. So if you're not succeeding in your academics, you can't be in sports.
Right, because it's a privilege.
Yeah,
it's not a right. You're right? It's not a right to be able to be part of this team. It's a privilege, and you earn that by being a good student-athlete. Good grades for you, Mr. Irish Boy?
I hope so.
Yeah? How good?
I'd say good enough.
Yeah? 3 point?
Yeah.
Good.
Definitely.
David?
Mine are good.
All three?
All good.
That a girl. She looked at me with that very confident, yep, all good from this part. Let me go through the list here with you guys before we get to a break. Annika, what's the best part about this? Do you just enjoy the competition? Do you enjoy being around your teammates? For you personally, what part of biking on this team do you enjoy most?
there's a whole lot of things, but I'd have to say that it's just the growth that I've had being part of such a supportive community, but also just learning my way around on my bike. I'm very geographically challenged, but once I've been somewhere on my own, I know how to get there on my bike. And learning how to overcome challenges that you don't expect right away. In races, if something breaks or if your body doesn't work the way you want it to, your bike doesn't work the way you want it to, you have to incorporate that into your race and make it work. And even just in practices or just out on your own, on just learning how to overcome some of those mental and physical struggles to
out on the course if you're I'm sorry out on the course if your bike breaks, can your coach come and help you?
Nope, nobody can touch your bike but you.
They can come and help you, but then you get a 5-minute penalty.
So you don't want them helping you.
No.
Can they stand and talk to you about it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, they
but
could.
They can't tell. They can't help you. They
can't touch your bike.
Man, I would stink in this sport, guys.
It's
I would
tough.
Just not.
It's really hard to be out cheering for people and see anyone on any team take a crash and or break a chain, get a flat tire. You'll see a lot of people running with their bikes if they have a mechanical that they can't fix, and they are still out running to finish the race.
Liam, is this sport a little more dangerous than people think?
Yeah, for sure. Mountain biking, especially when you start to progress and start to ride some of the bigger, like more gnarly stuff, it can get dangerous, but you just don't want to get in over your head, you know?
At the same time, I don't think it's as hard as or as scary as some people really think it is, because once you know the skills, nothing is...
I think the image that a lot of people have of mountain biking comes from seeing a video of
on YouTube.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Cam Zink jumping off a cliff in Utah on his bike, but that is ours is called cross country mountain biking. So our races are set up as a mix of double track, which is wider ski trail,
okay,
mixed with single track, which is pretty much one person wide. Dirt hard pack trail, and we're not jumping things or
How far is the race?
So the length increases with age, your age category, but it tends to be a 5-mile lap, and then freshmen do 2 laps, sophomores do 2 laps, the JV category does 3, and the varsity category does 4. So this is quite a long haul.
Boy, that's
we're
an
out
endurance.
There for, we're out there for about an hour and a half.
Do you guys, and again, please, these are questions that somebody who's never seen this, do you guys all start at the same time? Or is there somebody goes and then somebody else? How is a race started?
So different categories start at different times. Girls will usually start around like 10, 10:30.
Okay.
Guys in the high school age will start at about 12 or 12:30. And each category, let's say sophomores, JV, and varsity. Varsity will go first, then JV, then sophomore, and they all go in fields of waves.
Okay, they go in fields of waves.
Yeah.
Okay, so there'll be 10 guys that go, and then a minute later, another 10?
The starts are staggered, so they have the varsity go, 2 minutes later, the JV, 2 minutes later, and it goes like that. So
So how many guys are in one race? Let's just use the boys at this point.
Sometimes even you've got like 20 or 30 people in eight across, and it's just crazy. Every man for himself, just sprint as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're gonna get to a break. I'm gonna bring... the coaches and Dan back, and then that last segment. I'm going to ask you what your best memory so far and your worst. And we're going to have you guys come, so give that some thought. And that last segment, we'll bring you back. Boy, this is really interesting. WisconsinMTB.org. We're talking Wisconsin High School Cycling League. And again, WisconsinMTB.org. We got some kids from the Shorewood team. We've got a coach and the director from Shorewood, and then Dan Junkins, who is part of the core staff. And we're going to talk to those three on the other side of the break. This is the Blaine's Farm and Fleet U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and we're talking Wisconsin High School Cycling League. If you've just joined us, don't worry about it. I didn't know much about it either. This is a really interesting group of people that are doing great work. If you didn't hear the last segment with the three athletes, we're going to have them back on the fourth segment. And these are really impressive young people. You're going to feel pretty good about where these kids are at and this community of cyclists. And I'm just impressed with all of them. We're now joined by Dan Judkins. He is a core staff. Don Iwin, who is director of Shorewood, and Sydney Shimko is a coach in Shorewood. Guys, you got to be impressed with what you just heard, right? Yeah. You're sitting on the couch smiling. These are good kids. I have some I guess basic questions that I want to ask. And let me start, if we can, Don, with you. How do you recruit kids to come out? And you're up to 55, which is a great number. But how do you recruit kids that might want to compete in this sport?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different avenues. We employ social media and a lot of things a lot of other organizations do, but the kids really are the best at it. You know, these guys, much as the team started in Shorewood anyway, it was before there was even a league. It was just a bunch of kids talking together saying, hey, this is something we like to do. That never changed. You know, they're still out there telling people, hey, this mountain biking thing is cool. But now we've got this team, you know, so we have a place to direct them to kind of get together and head down this road together. So it's pretty fascinating. But the kids are really the beginning and the end of it.
Cindy, let me go to you. How, you know, every team needs coaches. How many coaches are involved in Shorewood?
We have three head coaches and then a lot of other volunteers at various levels, both in, you know, organizing the team as far as directing all the logistics of things. And then for our racing events, we camp almost every time there's a race, we camp. So it involves Saturday, Sunday cooking for, you know, 50 kids plus the parents and siblings. And
do you get a lot of parent support? Do they come to these races?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. We couldn't do what we do without the parents.
It's not just here in Southeast Wisconsin. You guys travel the state of Wisconsin,
yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We were in Hayward a few weeks ago for
Love
a race.
Love Hayward,
it's a
yeah.
6-hour drive, but, you know, worth it if you've ever ridden the trails in Hayward. They're legendary mountain bike trails, but great trails up there.
I was up there for Around the Corner with John McGivern and did a thing on their football team there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it's a pretty cool area. Yeah. It's a really beautiful,
beautiful
area, in fact. When you started, Dan, and you were part of this core staff, how many people are helping out at an average race?
So the core staff consists of like 10 to 12 people. But to set up the races and put on a race like we do, there's on Saturday, I would say, you know, 40 to 50 people. And then on race days, about that same number. Because when we have, you know, one race, we had 500 racers. That's a lot of kids to keep track of.
It's a huge number. What's the number as far as kids participating all over the state? Does anybody know?
I think there are around 600.
Yeah.
Dan may have the actual
yeah.
600.
You're over 600 total involvement this year. Now, we don't require the students to race. They can be part of the team, but they're not required to race. So that's kind of a different caveat that some other sports, you know, might not have.
Now, why wouldn't they? They just want to learn more about it and don't want to be competitive with it, Sydney?
Right. So one of the tenets of the National League that's put this together is to allow the opportunity for any kid and every kid to be able to be part of this sport. So there's never anybody who sits on the bench. Everybody participates. And if it's a student athlete that doesn't want to compete, then they can come to practice. They can come to the races and cheer on the other athletes. They can pre-ride the course. And if they choose not to compete, they don't have to compete.
Do you get many kids that choose not to compete?
We do. I'm not sure the percentages. Maybe it's 10%?
Yeah, 10 to 15% probably choose not to race, and we're totally cool with that. But they still join us at the events, and they're there for practice. They're there doing the skills and learning to mountain bike with us.
Here's what I love about that. And there's going to be some guys listening to this and including myself at times, altered competitive. Let's go. We got to go. I love the fact that these kids can come and practice, be part of something, and maybe they don't want to compete. They just want to be part of something that's pretty cool. Learn, you know, they're camping on the weekends and they're hanging out with their buddies and it's, you know, a co-ed environment. They're getting a chance to meet kids from all over the state. Who knows? Maybe that kid's a freshman or sophomore and junior year says, okay, now I'm ready. you know, and you're not pushing them to say, no, if you're not going to compete, you can't be part of this team. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
And very frequently, too. We also have, I should also add, we have middle schoolers on the team as well, too. So
that was my next question.
Right. So what we see a lot, especially in the kids that are maybe not racing, is that first year they're on our team, they're just checking it out. You know, they're taking it in and learning. And then next year comes around, they may say, hey, you know, maybe a race is something I want to try. Again, it's not for everybody, but we have kids that certainly have gone that route, you know, not to call him out, but I think early in his career, Liam, you know, was not necessarily headed in that direction, but he tried it out and, you know, he was a regular fixture on the podiums then in his last, you know, senior years of racing.
How does your team do? How does your team do against other teams in the state?
We do very well.
Are you guys the team to beat?
we're one of them. We just finished up our season and we were second overall in the state for the Division One.
Who won it?
I think Cambridge
High School.
Yeah, Cambridge High School did.
Cambridge did.
Yep.
Well, next year Cambridge is going down, right? Yeah. Let's go, man. We gotta make sure we take them down. How big does a team need to be? If a school says, look, we've got 8 kids that want to get involved in this thing.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different levels of this. Sydney mentioned the divisions. Division One is kind of the highest level of this. So if you have, I think it's 11 or more athletes from a single school, then you're a Division One team. So there's only a few of those because the league is growing, but there's going to be more out there. You know, at the other levels too, a lot of the teams are maybe made of multiple schools compositing together. So to start off with, you might get a kid here at another school, and that's enough to get going. 3 kids, 2 kids. There are teams, I think, that are 1 kid,
yeah,
right?
You can have one person. You can be an independent rider.
Wow.
And still come out and race.
Yep.
Well, when David said, look, I was a freshman, and some juniors and seniors came up and grabbed me and said, you're going to be part of this. Good for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? They probably saw him riding around and said, look, if we want this team to build, you know, we got to get these kids. I as a basketball coach, love when other athletes in the building are recommending, suggesting, pulling other kids, you know, to come and join the fun. I think kids learn, and Sydney, I'm going to ask you this, and then we're going to get to a break. I think kids learn such valuable lessons being part of a team that they carry those lessons with them the rest of their life. And I would assume that you would agree with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's one of the, in addition to being tons of fun, this sport is really, there's so many lessons learned. It's really a hard sport from the endurance aspect to the skills aspect. Sometimes we're out in really nasty conditions. Our last race this past weekend was raining, you know, the whole time.
That doesn't stop the race?
Nope. No. And so there's,
you're
it's
tougher than I thought over
there's
there.
There's a lot to overcome, and the, you know, the athletes do.
The kids really liked it. These guys are like, oh, that was awesome. And I'm
right there. Yannicka's like, yeah, thumbs up from the couch. Guys, I've got about 50 more questions, so I'm going to ask you to come back. Let's have you come back prior to next year starting again. When is the season?
So we start practicing in July.
Okay.
There's a lot of prep work that goes into it. But the race season starts with the school year.
Okay.
So our first race is usually right around the beginning of the school year.
Yep.
And I would assume the Messmer Shored football team gets more, you know, bennies in the hallway and write more posters and stuff like that.
We've got a growing trophy case collection, so we're looking for some place to throw that stuff.
Look, I went to Messmer, so you know, I like that combination of that school. I think the head coach over there does a great job. Guys, thank you very much. This has been really interesting. I'm gonna ask you guys to go onto the couch, and we're gonna bring the student athletes back, and I want to ask them what their favorite memory so far, and maybe their least favorite. And we're going to have, it'll be a short segment, but I'll get them talking. So, guys, thanks a lot. This is the Blaine's Farm and Fleet U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Blaine's Farm and Fleet U Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, and believe it or not, I'm talking Wisconsin High School Cycling League. I'm going to stop saying believe it or not because I'm really interested in this, and I will have these guys back. And I want to thank Kathy Mock and thank Jackie for sending me that email. I really appreciate it. More information on the Wisconsin High School Cycling League, go to wisconsinmtb.org. Wisconsinmtb.org. Now joined, we brought our athletes back, and we're going to talk to them a little bit quickly, I guess, because it's a short segment, Yannicka, if you could tell me your favorite memory of being part of this group and this team, what would it be?
I don't know that I have a favorite memory, but I actually, some of my favorite memories have been my interactions with my coaches and having personalized interactions with them because they really do care and they're very involved with our team.
That's really that good for you. Thanks for saying that. Because I don't know if everybody always feels that way about us coaches. So I love it when somebody calls out a coach and says, yeah, that for me is important. David, you're a senior. You've been doing this a while. Favorite memory so far?
I think some of my favorite memories, it's really hard to pick a favorite, but are races where something happens that isn't expected, like I crash or I have a mechanical, not feeling great going into it, and I'm able to overcome that and then feel really good by the end. My first race this season, I started and my first lap was painful. I was cramping up, just didn't feel good. And I was thinking to myself, oh great, this is going to be really fun for 10 more miles. And as I kept going, I got up the start hill the second time and I started feeling better. And I was just like thinking about my breathing and all the things that our coaches tell us. And by the end, I was feeling very strong, and third lap was just taking back all the positions that I needed, and I ended up finishing and feeling really good about
it. Where did you finish in that?
That race? I'm not really sure, actually. Top 10.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And you do it kind of matter-of-factly. Yeah. Like, top 10 is something that you've done before.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Liam, how about you?
Like for the season?
Yeah, just a memory of the career so far.
I'd have to say my last race, and coincidentally, like my last race with the series, that was probably a highlight for me because it was wet and cold, and usually those aren't ideal conditions, but it was just so fun to be out there, like ripping it up, throwing dirt everywhere, having a good time. And I really like, in the beginning of the race, I came out pretty hot and I was up with the lead group, and then I slid out in a particular muddy spot, but I just brought it all back and like finished really strong. And like David was saying, where you overcome something, I just like, I didn't let that stop me and just ended up killing it, which was fun.
What's going, do you have plans now for next year? Are you going to go on to college? You're going to stick, what
yeah,
do you think?
I've been applying to colleges, and I'm probably going to take a gap year and stay involved with the team for a little bit and just, you know, do my own thing for a little bit, then go to college.
David, how about you?
I've also been sending out my applications. I'm in the waiting period now.
If you got, what letter are you looking for the most? Where would you like to go?
I'm not sure that I really have a number one necessarily. I've applied to a couple schools in the Midwest area and then looking at a couple other ones, but nothing necessarily super number one.
Have you guys ever been, you know, out west biking? Have you been to Colorado? Look at you, man! Leave all lit up. Colorado
the bear story.
Yeah, we were actually because mountain biking has been like fostered into our lives and like it's something that we love and do on our own now. David and I go up to the Upper Peninsula, which you wouldn't think to have incredible mountain biking, but it's just like going out to Colorado. You can get some pretty sick topography up there, and we actually were riding the trails this summer and just about ran into a big bear that like walked right across the trail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. There's the danger you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Guys, I can't thank you enough. It really has been. The show's gone very quickly. I was a little nervous coming in because, again, this is something brand new for me, and you've piqued my interest in this. I've got a grandson who's 6 who loves, and you see him doing all this stuff on the bike, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? Don't you have a football game somewhere? And maybe this is something he needs to look.
Get him out there.
We'll take him.
Take him. Yeah. There you go. Keegan Bonner. Yeah, he's going to be part of the Shored Greyhounds, right?
Yeah.
Guys, go to WisconsinMTB.org for more information. Again, the Wisconsin High School Cycling League. Guys, it's so nice to meet you. Keep up the good work. All right, thank you very much. Good luck swimming.
Thanks.
You bet. This is the Blaine's Farm and Fleet Youth Sports Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.